Chapter 3. The Herring Rifles. One morning, some 3 weeks later, June Badgett halted his wagon and team near the man fig. He was too hurried to join his cronies there, having, he explained, contracted with Miss Alsbury, the doctor's wife, to fetch her a wagon load of preserving peaches from the other side of the river. But he plainly had something on his mind, something unpleasant, judging from the expression on his red face. The suggestion of a frown appeared between his small, nondescript-colored eyes. He dropped the reins over 1 foot and extracted a plug of tobacco and a buckknife from his trousers pocket. "Johnny Thornham is bigoted to the plumb last," he finally remarked, stuffing a generous cut of niggerhead into his mouth. "Johnny Thornham," echoed Drennan, who had slouched forward and stood with an elbow on a front wheel. "He ain't here." "I know he ain't," retorted June. "And that's the pison meanness of it, dern him." "What has he done?" demanded Tuke Chancellor curiously. "Done? Well, sir, what do you suppose is going on out yonder at Miss Eleanor Thornham's at this derned hot minute? A private sale, sir. Common folks ain't allowed to buy Johnny Thornham's mules and niggers, much less in his old chairs and tables and sofies." "Who says so?" called Jimmy Hobson from his perch on the broken fence.
"I say so, sir. I saw Pete Newell settin' on a bench in Miss Eleanor's rose garden just now, and a passel of men, the Lord knows who, round the back gallery. And I hitched and started to go in. Ding if Pete Newell didn't have the gall to tell me that it was a private sale. 'By Mr. John Thornham's orders, Mr. Badgett,' he says, mighty slick, taking off his hat. Old Josh Cameron was selling of the niggers off on the back steps. I heard him a-hollering as I drove away. 'Johnny Thornham's orders! And he 1,000 miles off yonder in New Orleans!'